Good evening. It's always good to have an opportunity to speak with the church family. And I hate that it's under those circumstances with Dan having COVID and all, but it is an opportunity for others to grow. And I think that we have a lot of opportunities to learn from Dan, and we certainly want to keep him in our prayers and Audrey in our prayers as we go through the week. And I certainly hope he's healthy by next week. That way we'll get an opportunity to hear one of his messages. Well, it was interesting to me that the first song that we sang tonight was Worthy Art Thou. You and I didn't talk about anything before this, but the title of what I'm going to talk about is being worthy. And I thought that was kind of interesting. When we started, I was like, well, that's unusual, but that's important. And so I know that whenever we're singing those songs, it means a lot to us to think about the words, and certainly whenever we were singing Worthy Art Thou, we all truly understand that Jesus is worthy of our praise and our admiration, and probably most of all, he's worthy of our love. And that's kind of where we'll begin tonight. Now, most of you probably know me as a hay farmer, more so than as a public speaker. And so I have to share this with you because I think this is relevant to what I'm going to be talking about tonight. But in hay farming, one of the fundamental aspects of what you do is cutting the hay. Because up until that point, you're not truly committed to when this is going to happen. You can kind of sit back and just wait for rain and enjoy the beautiful sunshine and watch the grass out there blowing in the field and just kind of enjoy that. But there comes a time where, as a hay farmer, you have to cut the hay. And sometimes it's difficult getting started, you know, because that first step is you got to get that tractor all dieseled up, and you got to get over there to the cutter and grease it up, and you've got to change out those blades and make sure everything's operating as it should. And then after that, things tend to go well for you. Every once in a while, you'll have a hiccup along the way. But taking that first step, making that commitment, is so very important in hay farming. Well, in the Christian life, taking that first step is very important. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, because, you know, as you go through and you study and you meet people and you talk to different people about their Christian beliefs, a lot of times people really open up and share with you some things that are kind of personal. And you know, sometimes what you find out is that they reveal some insecurities. And so that's something that we're going to talk about tonight. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In other words, Christ demonstrated his love for us because he was willing to send his son to die on the cross while we were still sinners. And he didn't say, you know, get your life perfect before I go get on this cross for you. It wasn't the case. He loved us enough to die on the cross, even though we were sinners. How many of you ever heard someone put off becoming a Christian because they wanted to get their life in order? I've heard that before. You know, when you talk to them about baptism, they were like, well, I'm just not ready yet. I'm not ready. I want to get my life in order, you know. Sometimes they just feel like they want to perfect their life before they get baptized. And sometimes what they say is, well, I don't know that I'm ready to get baptized because I don't know that I can live up to the standards that are set for the Christian lifestyle. I just don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Well, those are all excuses for failing to make a commitment to that lifestyle. And, you know, as we go through our life, a lot of times when we get to something that we really just don't want to do, we tend to make an excuse. And as long as we can make that fit our needs, then we feel like, well, that's okay. But becoming a Christian is not something to put off, because there's some dire consequences involved if you don't follow through, if you don't make that commitment. Well, one of the things that we see is that whenever you study the Bible and you look at a lot of the lessons that are taught in the Bible, we realize that God used imperfect people for the sake of his mission to bring hope to the world. Imperfect people. These are not people that had perfected their life before God began to utilize them to carry out his mission. These are people that were struggling with a lot of the same issues that we have in our lives today. And sometimes they made excuses to try to circumvent the situation, to try to navigate their life in a different way. But as we go through and we look at these illustrations in the Bible, we see that, you know, he didn't call the popular, the rich, the successful to further his ministry. Instead, what we see is that he looked at the poor, the broken, and he was able to utilize the lives of those people to change the lives of millions of people. Now, can you imagine how confused the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that time were whenever they looked at the team of people that Jesus had gathered together to carry out his work? You know, when we look at those people, we realize that a lot of them were broken, a lot like we are. A lot of them had some issues that just upon first glance, you would think, well, there's no way that individual could be useful in this particular missionary work. But what we see is that no matter where these people were from and no matter what they had done and no matter who they used to be, Jesus used all types of people for the good of his will. Now, here are some examples of what I'm going to refer to as the broken soldiers. And we're familiar with a lot of these individuals. But Abraham was old. And Elijah, he was pretty unstable at times. We look at Joseph, and he was abused, mistreated. And Job went bankrupt. Moses had a speech problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Noah drank too much. Jeremiah was very young. Jacob was a cheater. David was a murderer. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Zacchaeus was money hungry. The disciples, well, they fell asleep just trying to pray. Paul, a Pharisee who persecuted Christians before becoming one. And I often think of Paul because I think of what a drastic change was made in that man's life after he got to know God. You know, because a lot of times in our lives, we do things that we later look upon and regret. And I'm sure that was the case with Paul. I'm sure he looked upon a lot of the things he did as Saul in regret. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that, you know, a lot of times we're called to do something, and quite honestly, we don't really know how. I remember one time my dad, he went to preach one time, and a lady at the end of the service, she said, "Who told you you could preach?" He said, "Good Lord told me to go and preach, but He didn't tell me exactly how to do it." And so it took him a while. I was there that day, and I kind of understood what she meant. All right? But it didn't deter him from what he set out to do. He just kept working at it and got better. And you know, a lot of times in our lives as a Christian, that's what we have to do. We have to keep working at it and just get better. Because it's not always going to be done perfect. We're going to have some imperfections even when we try really hard to get things right. We're still going to have imperfections in our Christian life. Now, sometimes when we're talking to people about Christianity, you begin to realize that they feel as though there's a wall. A giant wall, a wall that they can't see over, that's separating them from Christianity and the Christian lifestyle. And that wall appears to be so tall that they can't cross over that wall. Well, here are the steps. I thought about this and I thought, no, I won't say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's the stairway to heaven. That's exactly what it is. And first of all, you hear the word. You study the word. You learn from the word. And then you repent. And then you're baptized. And then you follow the word throughout your life. Now, personally, I think that's probably the more challenging aspect of crossing over that wall, is being able to follow the word throughout your life. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's one of the very first Bible verses, I think, I learned when I was a little kid. And yet you think about it, and that's really the foundation to our Christian belief. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. And we were sinners. We, at that point, didn't return the love. Now, tonight, when we were singing, that song was about praise. It was about love. And Jesus is worthy of that love. And so we have those opportunities when we gather together to share our love and our devotion to Christ. And I think that, you know, sometimes we go through and we live our life and we realize that there's things that we don't do very well in our life. Well, we're not to make ourselves miserable. We're not to lose our joy. We're simply to get better. We have to work at those things that we're not good at. We have to be able to analyze our Christian life and work at the aspects of our life that are not up to par. It's a continual process. It's not something that, you know, we can just retire from. It's something that throughout the remainder of our life, we work at continual improvement. Now, we too are broken soldiers, just as those that I listed earlier. And sometimes we feel unworthy. We feel insufficient. But we are worthy. We're worthy of his love and his saving grace. For when we were still sinners, he died on the cross for us. After all, we were made in his image. He loved us when we were really not very lovable. We can't earn this free gift of salvation, but the fact that God made it available to us is evidence of our value and of our worth in his eyes. Our brokenness does not negate our worth, our value to God. Because as we've seen throughout the Bible, God has the ability to use those broken soldiers to get the job done. And in so many different aspects of our life, God is using us to get the job done, to influence others in so many ways. God used a bunch of flawed people to share hope to a flawed and broken world. Do we sometimes feel like the world that we live in is flawed? There's a lot of problems in this world. A lot of the problems are bigger than what we are. But there are no problems that are bigger than God. In God, we find renewal, we find mending, and we find purpose. Jesus did not call the equipped, he equipped the called. So many times, we feel that we're inadequate. And we have to understand that God's going to use us in a way that will be meaningful to someone. Now, we may not know exactly who that someone is, but God knows. And He will put us in that position to have that influence. So, no matter what you've been through in your life, and a lot of times we feel like we've been run through the wringer of the washing machine, but no matter what we've been through in life, we are all truly worthy of God's love. And I want you to keep that in mind, but also keep in mind that Jesus Christ is certainly worthy of our love. If you would, as we stand and sing, if you have any questions, if you have any things in your life that you feel like you need the prayers of the church, if you would, please come forward and we will be glad to help you.